Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We talked about the Bulls falling to the seventh pick in last night's NBA draft lottery, sort of the strangeness that was going on between that and a very odd Cubs game, and some football talk with Mike Florio, more basketball with Sam Vecenie, and the breaking news of Michigan State paying the Larry Nassar victims $500 million in settlements, $425 million in a lump sum, which is almost unheard of.
We also heard from Frank Thomas, who had some thoughts on Robinson Cano getting suspended 80 games for PEDs. The midway, wherever we like to do it. Midday, midway. You don't do it all the time.
It's what happens when you reinvent radio.
It is. Yeah. It's you know, these are the casualties that you run into. I don't know how big you are on the whole Mount Everest thing. You know, the climbing of it and the perhaps the dying on it and just the entire expanse of that extravaganza.
How about the litter? Have you read stories about
incredible.
The ridiculous amounts of litter and frozen human waste.
Frozen
and just,
humans.
And just how gross it is. Yeah, all the dead bodies that are
out there.
No, I mean, yeah.
Quite literally, there's all... Did you read into Thin Air at all, the Krakauer book?
That's John years ago.
It's. I got it. I read it about 10 years ago. I could not put it down. I'll read it every now and again. It fascinates me. The whole thing fascinates me, the human endeavor, the risk of it.
You're a climber, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but not that kind. You know, that's a different. So anyway, I'm looking through and saw this headline: Sherpa guides scale Everest, setting new records. A veteran Sherpa guide scaled Mount Everest on Wednesday for the 22nd time, setting a record for the most climbs of the world's highest mountain. While a female Sherpa made it to the summit for the 9th time, shattering her own record for the most climbs by a woman. I'm not entirely sure how you shatter it by climbing it one at a time. It's not as all of a sudden she climbed it 5 times, just one at a time. She increased the record.
Have a day, Sherpa.
Even still, It's just, I find that whole environment, I find the whole culture around it absolutely fascinating. The idea of base camp itself being an achievement and just getting there. There's this entire other industry there. You can essentially pay whatever you need to pay to be carried up the mountain.
Correct.
Now. And that is becoming more and more dangerous for everyone else around you, because the camps that go up, the groups that go up, and how much that endeavor endangers everyone else who's trying to climb it, because so many resources have to be committed to somebody who's paying $50,000 to be carried up and down the mountain. And then there are these Nepalese Sherpas, a group of people who have lived for hundreds and maybe even thousands of years close to the mountain, are acclimated to the area, and just they go up and down like it's nothing. That's because that's their job. That's what they do. It's remarkable that these people have been up 22 times in some cases. It blew my mind.
I forgot the name of the movie. I saw it in a film class. It was, I believe, it might have been called Himalaya. And it was not a documentary, but a dramatization of the Himalayan salt trade.
Oh, yeah.
The pink salt. And I think this was also covered in the book Salt by Kerensky.
It was. Yeah, that's...
But to see it filmed there and showing how harrowing some of this is, that what they have to do is just part of their industry. It's just, they're not making huge margins on this salt. It's just it's their business. And how it's transported, and they're think about the regular climbing, but then carrying massive amounts of salt on your head and in your hands on these tiny little pathways with death on either side.
But you mentioned the death, the bodies, all the litter. Really, we only know the record from the one side, the Nepalese side going up. On the other side of the mountain, there's a Chinese ascent that's just not as well documented, because they haven't kept records as long as or the same way that the other side of climbers have. There's a whole other side of the mountain with more dead bodies.
This is from the Daily Mail. Former U.S. Open champion golfer Lucas Glover was allegedly attacked by his wife after playing badly in this weekend's Players Championship in Florida. Krista Glover, 36, was arrested by St. Johns County Sheriff's deputies late Saturday in the house the couple had rented during the tournament at Sawgrass TPC. She was charged with domestic battery and resisting arrest. If found guilty, she could face up to a year in jail on each misdemeanor count. According to the incident report, Lucas Glover tried to ensure deputies wouldn't arrest his wife of 6 years by changing his witness statement. But because he and his mother suffered visible but minor injuries in the altercation, Krista Glover was taken to the local jail in handcuffs. The incident report shows he told deputies Krista gets violent every time he doesn't play well.
Oh my God.
In a major PGA tournament. And since he had a bad day alongside Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson, and Justin Rhodes, she allegedly went off on him at dinner, showered him with insults, including the P word and loser. The attack was in front of their two underage children and Lucas's mother. He told deputies how, quote, when he plays a bad round of golf, Krista proceeds to start an altercation with him, telling him he's a loser and a P-word, how he needs to fire everyone, he'd better win, or her and the kids would leave him, and he'd never see the kids again.
Jesus.
So he started the tournament well, just two strokes behind the leaders, then he started losing ground Friday and Saturday, didn't play well Sunday. Saturday night, he told deputies he was tired of the altercations with his wife and he couldn't take it anymore, and at the same time, he tried to dissuade deputies from arresting Krista and claimed there was no physical altercation. So flip the roles here. Think about this the next time. Oh, she didn't want to charge. She didn't want to. And think about this now. Think
how
about
how hard it is.
Again, just flip the roles here. I want you to picture that the man and woman are flipped in this, and then be mindful of that. The golfer did tell authorities that his wife had been drinking all day, and there were fresh lacerations to his right arm, multiple lacerations to his 62-year-old mother's arms, as well as blood on her clothes. The deputies detailed the injuries. Neither Lucas nor his mom asked to be treated by paramedics. Someone called 911 to report a disturbance. When deputies arrived, they found Krista and Lucas arguing on the porch. So when the mother was interviewed, she said she tried to stop a loud argument, but Krista turned against her and hit her repeatedly. The drama didn't stop once she was handcuffed. The deputy said she resisted them, refused to get into the back seat of a squad car.
What?
By trying to tense her body and blocking herself from sitting down in the car. She allegedly tried to wrap her legs and feet around the frame of the open car door.
Good Lord.
But several deputies pulled and pushed until she got in. Once inside, she damaged the car by kicking the door. At some point during the transport to jail, two deputies tried to loosen her handcuffs and she tried to get away. It took both lawmen to re-handcuff her. Wait till the tour hears about this, she yelled. You'll lose your job. This is why cops get shot in the face. Wait till I talk with the judge. You'll be effing fired over this.
Oh, she's going to jail.
I think she was released on a $2,500 bond. She has a date with the judge on May 31st.
I don't think that date with the judge is going to go the way she thinks it does.
They have a 6-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy. They were married in 2012. He was previously married to high school sweetheart Jennifer Smith. So this is his second wife.
Man.
And just however you think about this, think about it if it's in the other direction.
I have not yet purchased my tickets to go see Solo, a Star Wars story. What, Dan,
how are the reviews?
So far, decent. I am a little worried about it myself. I think the big reviews, guys like Roper have theirs coming out in a little bit. We'll see where things land. But there was the Twitter Star Wars world was set kerfuffle just this earlier today because apparently...
Oh, no, I hate dealing with the...
It's not that bad. It's not okay. So bad. Kathleen Kennedy, who is the casting director and took over as the CEO of Lucasfilm when George Lucas sold it all out to Disney, she mentioned in a couple of interviews that the next movie, because remember, we've been waiting for that next third standalone film. We still don't know what it's going to be, but she said that it might be a Donald Glover Lando movie. Donald Glover, of course, of This Is America, the music video that set everybody off this last week. It's incredible. He's in Atlanta. He's a big-time star, and he's playing Lando in this next Solo film. But now there's a walk back. There's a miscommunication. Apparently the comments were taken out of context.
Oh.
And while they might want to do a Lando movie and capitalize on Donald Glover and Glover capitalize on Lando, that's not necessarily going to be the third standalone film. So we wait. We continue to wait, Dan. I, for one, would buy tickets for a Donald Glover Lando movie right now.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to steal our idea for Boba Fett plays double-A baseball.
Lando's the old salty starting pitcher just trying to get a ground ball to Boba Fett.
Yep, they were listening, and it's going to be Boba Fett takes to the minor leagues. You watch. You had the Stephen Piscotty story earlier today. I saw this and I couldn't believe it. The Fairfield Stags college baseball team,
okay,
had their home finale on Tuesday against UMass. This is from thecomeback.com. It also meant the final home game for the Stags seniors. It was senior day. One of the seniors is first baseman Drew Blake. In the bottom of the sixth inning, Blake crushed a two-run homer all the way to a parking lot well beyond the right center field fence. And there is a man in that parking lot, the only person standing there. It's an otherwise empty parking lot. There's one car.
Don't tell me.
And there's a man standing there who catches this massive home run. And it was none other than Drew Blake's dad.
You're kidding me.
And he said, one last game of catch with my dad.
You're kidding.
And he knew it. He saw it as he was rounding the bases.
Yeah, because there's nothing out there.
Right, and it's right there in his line of sight because he's a left-handed hitter, and he just strokes this thing out there. And there's his dad alone in the parking lot right to him.
Didn't that happen in the Little League World Series? Not like last year, but the year before? Was it the year that somebody hit one to his dad?
I don't remember that, but it's on Instagram, and it says, one last awesome game of catch at home with my dad. And the two-run shot tied the game, and Fairfield went on to win 8-4.
You hear from the dad, he's got a scouting report. Yeah, he always hits him over here. This is where I stand. I stand here because he's going deep. This one, an unfortunate baseball injury. Carson Smith, Red Sox reliever. And the sidewinder, and he's got that weird delivery, a big trade from the Seattle Mariners, and he immediately got hurt and wasn't able to help out the Red Sox the year he got moved over, which I think was 15, I think. Yeah, that's what it was. So anyway, Carson Smith gives up a home run to Chris Davis. Chris Davis with an H of the A's the other night. And then lost it in the dugout.
Just K-H.
Oh, yeah, you're right, with a K-H. Yeah, right? It's the H that stands out in the K, Chris, but that's not why you called. Smith apparently threw his glove with his non-throwing hand.
Okay.
And now has a right shoulder subluxation.
Oh.
After chucking the glove. He does throw right-handed, so it is now his right shoulder that's gone. After throwing the glove in the dugout, he has separate, right? A subluxation is a small separation of the shoulder, right? I mean, that's,
I guess that's more a chiropractic term. I don't know what it, technically what
it's bad
is.
For yeah. A right-handed pitcher to lose your right shoulder.
Well, the Cubs game showed the injury last night. Is it Camargo who hurt himself?
Johan Camargo
last year because while taking the field, he had a superstition of trying to pick up dirt. And at some point last year, he went to pick up dirt and he stumbled and he hurt his knee.
I missed this.
And
now was this during the basketball game as well? I was flipping back and forth.
Yeah, it was at near the start of the Cub game. I was wondering why they were showing the Braves running onto the field and it looked otherwise normal. They said, well, because this is a guy who injured himself famously with a superstition of having to scoop up dirt on the dead run right by the baseline.
On the dead run?
On the run. He would reach down and grab dirt until he injured himself doing it. This is from The Independent. When Soo Yun brought her family a puppy 2 years ago, or bought her family a puppy, she was surprised by how much the dog ate.
Okay.
A box of fruits and two buckets of noodles every day, she told Chinese media. There was, it turns out, a reason for its prodigious appetite.
Oh, no.
Because the animal has grown into a 250-pound bear.
Oh my God.
The family realized their error when the pet did not stop growing and started showing a talent for walking on two legs. How about realizing that it's a bear?
It's a bear.
So she said the more he grew, the more like a bear he looked.
Well, yeah, that makes sense she considering said, it's a bear.
It is a bear. The villager living near the city of Kunming in the Yunnan province, she said, I'm a little scared of bears. Well, the animal has now been taken into care at the Yunnan Wildlife Rescue Center after the family got in touch requesting help. Footage taken by officials shows it standing about a meter tall, and staff were so intimidated by the animal, which had lived in the family home, they sedated it before transportation. It has been identified as an Asiatic black bear, which would fetch thousands of pounds of sold on the black market. The family say they bought the animal believing it to be a Tibetan mastiff while on holiday in 2016. They are apparently not the first among their neighbors to mistake the ursine for the canine. In March, local media reported how a man also from Yunnan province had also raised a bear after finding it in the forest and initially believing it to be a stray dog. He, however, kept it in a cage.
I kind of figured that there was some sort of dog salesman in Yunnan that had been, you know, just, hey, here, buy your dogs. They're all bears. All of them are bears.
he got a deal on bears.
This one local guy just has too many bears. I don't know what to do with these bears. I got an idea. I'm going to sell them as dogs, get them early, convince everybody here in town that bears are actually dogs.
Oh, you got one of those dogs from him, huh? I got one of those, too.
He certainly eats a lot, right? And I am terrified for my small children, but boy, what a dog.
That is the midday midway. You want to do the big matchup that's sweeping the nation next?
I do.
We have a showdown, and you're going to play. You're going to play along. This is a matchup. A matchup of titans. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Yanny versus Laurel. You will decide who wins in this matchup. Are you team Yanny or are you team Laurel? You have no idea what I'm talking about.
None.
You are going to next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Maybe Hans Molman can come to your rescue as well if you are on Team Yanny or Team Laurel. What the hell are you talking about, Bernstein? What is this?
Say that every day.
It's a meme.
It is.
You remember the dress?
The black dress. The
blue or black. Yellow or orange. What color is this dress? What color is this dress? And everybody argued this is the aural equivalent.
It's the audio dress.
The audio dress of, and this was... originally posted, God knows where, but
Reddit.
It has made its way around with people wired away to hear one or the other. We're going to play this for you multiple times and decide if you're hearing the word Yanny or if you're hearing the word Laurel.
Now, those two words are so incredibly different. I can't imagine hearing one or the other from... They sound nothing alike.
No, Rick is going to fire this multiple times.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. So that's pretty clearly and definitively without any... That's Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying Laurel.
That's what it sounds like
any
to me.
Any Yannies?
Very clearly Laurel to me.
Laurel. Okay. That's yep. Laurel.
Right. Now, there, if you play with it a little bit, and as people have tried to figure some of this out, for us, it's Laurel probably because of the sound, the quality of the headsets that we have.
You think so?
We are hearing this through radio equipment. If you play the same thing through the speaker of your phone, there are different aspects in the equalized sound, either the high end or the low end, depending on what you get in your speaker or depending how your brain is wired, you may hear things differently. Now, you've got examples of this with either the highs or lows removed, right? What are we going to hear first?
First is without the highs.
Laurel. Laurel.
Still.
Laurel.
Yeah, still hearing Laurel.
Okay.
Have you changed?
Today I've been able to hear both. I've been able to program myself to hear either or.
Really?
Yeah, even though I at some point I heard Yanny and then I heard Laurel and then I realized why I heard one or the other and I could, it was sort of like seeing negative space and some of those visual illusions.
Yeah, you can kind of force yourself to see the rabbit or the hat kind of thing.
You can toggle back and forth, mm-hmm. right? So now we're going to hear it with the lows removed.
Oh, well, that's, yeah. I mean, clearly, that's Yanny.
Yep. So we've solved it, basically.
Okay. All right. So we've taken out the highs or put in the lows, and we get to play around a little bit. I think I was reading around about this a little bit before I'd heard it, and apparently a psychologist who specializes in audio, Howard Nussbaum, he's a psychologist who studies speech science at the University of Chicago, said, this is such a great quote from the quote reads like scientist who doesn't talk to people a lot because of the way the quote comes out. But if he goes, Nussbaum says, if I cut your ears off and put someone else's on your head, sounds would sound different.
He does that though. So don't tempt him. Cut your ears off.
Listener to the show, just cut my ears off and hear it differently.
Well, we recommend that.
Either way, Hawks fans still think we should talk less Laurel.
Ray said that he even... getting rid of the lows does not hear Yanny.
No Yanny? No Yanny whatsoever. Play the no lows.
Really?
Again. We get the...
You still hear Laurel?
That's Yanny.
That is definitive.
It's Yanny.
I can hear Yanny, but it's still clearly Laurel to me. If I was hearing that for the first time, I would still say Laurel.
Wow. See, I don't on that one. I don't hear Laurel at all.
But I hear just a little bit of Laurel, and I'm sure part of it's because they didn't do a perfect cut of all the lows, but still, yeah, I can hear like remnants of Laurel in the
and
Yanny.
Members of remnants,
yes,
of Laurel.
But I don't hear any of the Yanny when in either of the other examples.
So my wife just texted me, "Wait, I just heard Laurel for the first time. Have only heard on my phone or computer."
JJ Watt was on the Ellen Show. DeGeneres thought it was Laurel. Watt was Team Yanny. Which means I have to switch to be Team Yanny with JJ Watt. That's what I have to do.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We didn't ask you. You're dead. Then you can't hear anything, and that's good. We're making the texters are just great here. Some are saying, "Wait, I just heard Yanny, and then I lost it, and now I can't hear Yanny anymore." And everybody's describing how the AM radio signal might be changing things.
That's got to be how it works.
Yeah, according to a Twitter poll, 69% hear Laurel.
Nice.
Rob Gronkowski, of course, nice. has probably gamed that particular poll. Initially, when I saw, I'm on Twitter, I'm like, what the hell is this? What is going on?
It's so stupid, right. The crap that goes viral.
Right. So
it's just so dumb.
So I search it, and then I play it in the bathroom. And all I heard was Yanny until I heard Laurel. Like, oh, wait a second. Now, and then I on my iPhone, I was able to hear what I wanted to hear, depending on what I concentrated on. But when we were playing it in these headphones, and you're talking Sony studio monitors, that changes everything because you're not just hearing it out of a phone.
See, I can't force myself. Do we have the normal one, Rick? Do you have just the regular, the State of the Union kind of normal? Play that one. Let me play that one. I want to try
Laurel.
Yes, I cannot do it again.
Laurel.
I cannot force myself to hear Yanny.
I can't hear Yanny there,
that's
and
Laurel.
I think that's a speaker issue. I think if you heard that same thing from your phone, you could get some of the tinniness of.
Well,
of Yanny.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's just where you're playing it from has the change between Laurel and Yanny.
Apparently, I guess it depends on what is being featured from the given speaker or the combination of that and your actual brain processing the sound.
This texter from the 815 says he hears red rum, which is bad. And you should get away.
Yeah, that's good.
Run away.
The 312 says, I hear monkeys don't cramp. and Glenn says, I'm hearing da-da-da-da.
Laurel and hot dogs are not a sandwich. That's from the 630.
This is the productivity lost. I'm waiting for some representative of Challenger Gray and Christmas to now be to give us the official estimate for
the NCAA tournament,
yeah,
right?
Every year, the workplace product. I think I always joke that whole company of Challenger Gray and Christmas, it only exists one day. The Thursday the NCAA tournament begins, and they release the results of that study.
Lift the protective glass.
Right, and they go on vacation
remove
again.
Remove the study from the app.
Looking good, Challenger. Feeling good, Christmas. They're just on a beach somewhere, right? they're just hanging out.
You know, what do you think? Should we investigate this whole Yanny Laurel thing? No. We'll wait for the tournament like we always do.
We're going to turn that over to the other firm because that's too much work for us. We need to farm that out because we're busy tracking workplace productivity lost to the NCAA tournament, which now with legalized gambling, we can only imagine what that's going to be. They may have to redo their entire business model with Challenger Gray and Christmas.
Laurel.
Monkeys never cups.
This is our world is so stupid.
It really is.
It's
real dumb.
This is what we do. This is what we take time to do. You know, there was some very smart stuff on these airwaves yesterday, and I don't know when you want to set aside a time to hear what Dan Carcillo said with Danny Parkins yesterday.
Oh yeah,
with the former Blackhawk.
I caught bits of it, and it's really really good.
Going hard after the NHL. Really attacking Gary Bettman and the NHL for not just being obtuse and nonsensical when it comes to head injuries, but he's actively and actually accusing them of hurting people, of putting essentially lives and brains in danger. And he's another. The Frank Thomas stuff was impassioned. Mm-hmm. Dan Carcillo, same way. And people think of him in a certain way that I don't really think is fair.
No, I mean, his style of play made you think one way about him. But I had a chance to do a Hawks Talk thing the same way, you know, Jay, you've done had done a couple, I think, with him, too. I did one with him, and I came away really impressed by a guy who was very much more than the reputation that he got for playing the way he did.
When we come back, we're going to give away $1,000 in cash right here on The Score with a special text keyword. And you're going to want to hear the accusations that Dan Carcillo levels against the NHL about what's going on there. So it's worth sticking around for. You got The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Daniel Carcillo, that's a big takeaway there. They're killing people, talking about the league and the union, saying that they haven't done enough to pressure the league. The NHL is the only holdout in admitting that head trauma actually causes brain injury.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Carcillo on with Danny Parkins yesterday in terms of his conversation about the network, too, the actual television networks that broadcast the NHL. You know, he'd had conversations apparently with Jeremy Roenick, who's a big face of that network and talks a lot. He also has some involvement in the players' union, it seems. And I guess he you know, Jay might know more a little bit about the intricacies between Carcillo, the union, and the network than we do. But it seems to me that Carcillo mentioned there's been a truce called between that side of things.
With him and Roenick.
So not necessarily the network, but just with him and Roenick.
Yeah, and I think I understand, and I'm not condoning it by any means, but you know guys who are the face of the league are not going to go as strong as Dan did. But what they did was they sort of mocked him, and they mocked his cause. And to me, that's really trashy. And the more I see Jeremy Roenick, and I say this all the time, he's the reason I love hockey. That's the player
that
hooked me into the game. And the more time that goes by, the more that legacy is destroyed for me, because it's just, it's been a shame since he's retired. And to mock a guy for being that passionate, not looking for money, not looking for fame, just wants the league to do the right thing, to mock that is ridiculous.
Plus, he's lost friends. I mean, Carcillo's lost friends to this.
Yeah, Steve Montador.
And you're going to go out and mock him for losing friends to brain injury and head trauma and the subsequent behavioral issues that can come from some of those?
This segment's brought to you by Fogarty's Show. And celebrate dad, your grad, or those closest to you with the fresh flavors of weekend Brazilian brunch now at Fogarty's Show in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville. And it is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is window. Text window to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is window to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. So Daniel Carcillo had a lot more than that to say. And I know what he was talking about, the treatment that players do or don't receive, and how something that was critical to him was that the lack of treatment, it needs to be addressed.
I will not stand by and let Steve Monador's son, who's only 4 months younger than my son, I won't stand by and have them grow up in a world where they don't have the information. This is my fight, because we didn't have the information, but apparently the NHL did.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's that hiding. It's the hiding the ball there that is inexcusable.
And he says in his own case that some of this information was actually denied him.
If they would have told me my last year when I was making minimum, if they would have explained to me, you're now at risk for early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, anxiety, depression, suicide, I would have probably thought twice. Because what nobody knows in the NHL is that there's escrow.
Here's the text. Where's the 612? Dan Carcillo is a bitter, washed-up player. He's not trying to get anything.
No, he's not asking for a thing, except recognition of this thing going of a case going on in the NHL.
Is that a washed-up player?
And fans hoping to help out.
He's a retired player.
Central Minneapolis.
Okay, so somebody in Central Minneapolis is angry. I don't know what your investment is that would have you as an antagonist to Dan Carcillo, or feel that Dan Carcillo is antagonizing you.
You know, we saw in the NFL a couple of cases with players who came in, made impact, and retired after very short spans. Chris Borland among them. know, linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers, who really turned on for one season and then quit because he knew the effects, or at least it was discussed, the effects of head injury. I, you know, with Carcillo, it's one thing to have the league tell you something wrong, which is his position, right? I mean, that's what he's kind of providing in the interview with Danny Parkins, that the league itself has misled and or misrepresented the issues at stake for its players.
They're the one league to deny the connection between head trauma and CTE.
They will not acknowledge it despite other leagues acknowledging it.
Which to me is horrifying, yes, but you know, there are other places where we've seen that connection and seen that link and worried about this. I know that players, you know, can live in bubbles at times, and we're talking too with Carcillo. What was his last season? I mean, it's a handful of years ago, and probably the writing on this hadn't been as widespread, not necessarily in the NHL, but in other leagues too. I mean, it gets harder and harder for the NHL to deny this day after day, you know? I mean, there's more writing about this. There's more players involved in this. There are settlements from the NFL to its former players about this very issue, which is in one sense an admittal of this happening.
Maybe the NHL just can't, maybe their lawyers are telling them this is admission is suicide. The NFL had built up enough of a wall financially that they could just cut a check for $1 billion.
They could take a couple of shots to the.
It's like Michigan State. Michigan State, they can cut checks for $500 million and continue to exist. And if you just are joining us, that's the story today, that an agreement has been reached. Michigan State is going to pay $500 million to Larry Nassar's victims. And you were making the point off the air that if in fact they're taking this money from infrastructure or program improvement.
Right, that they're saying, well, we can't bring this science lab online anymore because we have a settlement to pay. We can't put this money into the athletic department or into the dorms or into any sort of student life thing.
Food. I mean, you could
yeah, food.
You could imagine a negative cycle by which the inability to continually improve their infrastructure and programs means lower return on the total tuition money if people are going elsewhere because they feel that school is somehow in decline, and then it just begins to propagate where that could be a serious blow to the university.
Yeah, because and what we found out over the last couple of weeks in this case, especially in light of Larry Nassar's boss himself being involved in a bunch of – well, department head, I guess, being involved in a bunch of deplorable behaviors and in exploiting women for his own sexual gratification too – there were people making decisions about the future of the university while they knew Larry Nassar was a liability for them.
Right.
They decided to think, okay, well, I'm just going to go keep on with Larry Nassar as our guy and in charge. And USA Gymnastics is in a very similar position too. Wouldn't let them off the hook either. But people in charge made the decision continually to, well, the hell about the future of this university or the future of this U.S. gymnastics team or whatever. That's less important than making sure that our doctor stays the same as we've always had. How do you make that decision?
How do you decide this over and over again? Yeah, it's like the Penn State decisions where it's like, yeah, you know, Jerry's a little weird. We think probably something's good. But, you know, just let him have his keys.
I don't know how you consistently, right, day after day, wake up and say, this is fine. This is absolutely fine.
Daniel Carcillo retired after the 2014-2015 season in 39 games with the Hawks. And I'm really dismayed by some of the text response here.
I haven't looked. Should I look?
Yeah, I don't really understand it. I agree with Carcillo, but I just have a problem. This is from the 773. That Carcillo is the guy to tell us this. Do we remember all the dumb after the whistle hits this guy did? It's 100% hypocritical. He had to play the game that way to have a role on a team. And that's what happened with all of these guys like Derek Bogard and Wade Baylock and these now deceased fighters who, you know, Montador was somebody who got in a lot of fights. The guys around the periphery of the game who needed to prove their sandpaper and grit and all the extra glue guy stuff just to hold a spot on a roster. That's what the league and the culture of the league were asking those guys to do to create some extra value. As dumb as it might be, the league valued that. They sent the message that was how you would stick on a roster, by being the guy to do that stuff.
Yeah, I don't. There's a couple of texters who have also said, isn't some of this obvious? Isn't the collision stuff pretty obvious? And I think yes, now it is. But it, quite honestly, at my age, you know, 32 and having seen some of the research as early on as I did, you know, coming here 10 years ago or so and seeing some of that research then, I can't fathom a world where it was different. You understand what I'm saying? I can't really get to a place where I'm watching the NFL and going, well, that's really a bad hit. He got his bell rung and next week he'll be fine. You watch boxing and that's a completely different situation. I think for a while, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think for a while we were able to watch boxing and go, well, that's the bad one. That's clearly where you're going to have the issues. He's got the boxer's head. He's been punched drunk. He's all that kind of stuff. That's the consistent kind of contact that's just obvious.
Well, what's unfortunately,
these sports are different because it's only moderate contact, time
yes,
to time.
But the science tells us that that's where the insidiousness
well,
lies.
That's what I'm saying.
Even the boxers themselves were not as injured by the concussive blows as they were by the constant, by even banging heads together during a fight and this jab and that jab. It is the accrual of subconcussive hits that mm-hmm. causes these problems, and where football's been evil and brilliant in determining that, well, if we keep saying concussions, people aren't going to realize it's the football itself that's destroying brains. Now, hockey does not have the endemic head rattling that football has, but it's got a lot.
This from the 224. He shouldn't have played if he legit cared about his health. No one forced him to play hockey.
He didn't have the information.
That's the thing. No one did force him to play hockey. But what Carcillo represented yesterday with Danny Parkins is that he wasn't given information, and the information he was given might not have been accurate, might not have been legit actual science. That the NHL is, in Carcillo's opinion, misleading players away from the fact that head injuries are either A, as prevalent as they actually are in the NHL, or B, the risks of those head injuries.
Yeah, I don't know why there's a response, why an angry response to him. Listen to what he's saying. Why not just listen? Are you trying to protect hockey or something? I genuinely don't get it. I mean, he's just telling you what's happening. He's telling this, his story about what was withheld from him. He's understanding what is going on in other sports. I'm not sure why there's this pushback against him. What are you worried about?
Also, I wonder if you asked Danny Carcillo whether or not he'd have changed the way he played if he was told the information that was actually relevant, if he was actually told the medical problems that he was bringing to himself with the way he played. I'm just kind of guessing at this a little bit. I bet he might not have played the way he did. And maybe he doesn't become an NHL player in that instance. Maybe he doesn't last as long as the league as he did in the league as he did. But maybe that's a bigger issue with the league itself, that you're asking these players to adopt behaviors that only imperil themselves.
And there's so many people in hockey that understand that the whole fighting thing has got to go, and it's going. It's close to gone.
It is, but there are bigger issues in that sport from a head injury standpoint that I don't know that you can take away. Perhaps maybe you shouldn't either. Fighting is one thing, but a style of play is another.
A lot of it's self-reporting. A lot of it is what we know and what we don't, and part of the how they conceal injuries, and say upper body, lower body. One of those guys who suffered a lot of these upper body injuries, whose game has certainly deteriorated, is Jonathan Toews, and Carcillo talked a little bit about him.
They're a team within the league of denial. It's pretty self-explanatory, and they, you know, if the Blackhawks want to make a difference, and if they care about Johnny Toews and about these guys, then they'll just go out and say, you know what, maybe we're going to go and hire a functional neurologist for next year without the consent of the league.
Right? Because when they start to say the relative importance of players changes the way they look at things.
So you're saying a bigger name with issues like this necessitates committing more
maybe.
Resources to keeping care of that player?
Guy, you're paying $10 million a year, maybe. Rather than what he describes as a league minimum.
Yeah.
Maybe it changes things. Len Kasper he called that ridiculous Cubs game last night. It was ridiculous, and then it felt like a playoff game at the end.
Yeah, it got hot.
It went from really stupid to really exciting, and that's why baseball is, you never know. You see a bunch of things you've never seen before, seemingly every single night. He's going to talk Cubs next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!